Welcome to the Florida Real Estate and Entrepreneur Podcast, where we interview the best and the brightest business and real estate leaders. Our mission is to inspire and help 1,000 entrepreneurs to start and succeed in real estate and entrepreneurship. We will give you the exact playbook to succeed in your business through the experience of those who blaze the path. We're bringing the what's working today directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Florida Real Estate and Entrepreneur Podcast. I have an amazing guest with me today, not just a guest on the podcast, but a friend of mine, a partner, just somebody who I absolutely adore. I've got Valentina Borrega on with me today, and she is an amazing entrepreneur and has a ton of value to bring to us. And I'm not going to spoil it. I will just say a couple things. She is not from the United States. She did come over here to the land of opportunity, but not only did she just come over here, but she seized the opportunity. She worked at a real estate investment company with Blackjack and our team. And then she's built a business from the ground up that is absolutely flourishing. Virtual staffing company called HireTrain VA. Val, thank you so much for being here today with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always so great being talking to you and having this conversation. I think we can bring a lot of value to the audience today. So I'm excited about this.
Love it. Love it. All right. So why don't you just tell us your story? You have such an incredible story about where you started, your journey in entrepreneurship, what happened when you got here, and how did you get to where you are today? So just kind of bring us all up to speed on your story.
I didn't have a very good upbringing financial-wise when I was a child. I grew up in Moldova. It's a small country in Eastern Europe. It's actually, I'm not sure if it's the smallest, but it's statistic-wise, it's the poorest country in Eastern Europe. It's not very visited. There are not a lot of opportunities there. So that's where I grew up. And I always knew that I wanted to have a better life for myself and for my family eventually. And even when I was a kid, my parents always encouraged the importance of education. So study English, that's going to be your door to open new opportunities. And I always tell this story that I remember one time I came home very upset because I got a bad grade in history. And my dad is like, why are you upset? You got to keep your focus on what really matters. What's going to be more important for you? What subject? And he said, what do you have in English? And I said, oh, English is like the easiest subject. It just comes naturally to me. I'm so good at this. And he said, focus on what's working and focus on your goal and what you want in life. And I took this principle. Even now I apply it in business. You know, I'm not perfect in everything I do, but I have to be better at things that will really move the needle for my life and for my company. But this kind of like, just to give a background of how I grew up and how I started, we were struggling financially. We live in a two-bedroom apartment and me and my three siblings, we shared one room. So, you know, we didn't have a lot. I was wearing the same pair of shoes for 3 years and I really wanted something different. And then my sisters wore the clothes after me. So it was a really, really tough beginning, but I really wanted to have something better. So I came to the States first time when I was an exchange student. I got a scholarship to come to the US. Of course, my parents couldn't afford this. So luckily it was covered by the US government, by Department of State. And when I came here as an exchange student, I lived with an American family and I understood that a different life is possible. And man, what great opportunities and how lucky Americans are to be living here and to have all of this at their fingertips and not take advantage of this. To me, this was such a surprise. Like, how can you not see what you have in front of you? How can you just not grab it? So, but that experience as an exchange student that really ignited a fire in me is like, I need to come back here. Like, I can see the opportunities here and I have to come back here. So when I turned 18, I was applying for a green card lottery. I don't know if people know about this. Also sponsored by the Department of State. It's available to almost every country in the world, and it's just a lottery, and you can apply and they randomly select people. So the rate of selection is 0.02%. Like, it's very, very low. They have limited amount of spaces and they open it to the whole world. And every single year I got rejected. Like, I was not selected to be, you know, to come to the States. And of course that got me frustrated. I said, oh, come on. I'm young. I speak the language. I can contribute so much more to the American economy. Why is somebody who's older, doesn't speak the language, get to come to the States and I can't? But, you know, they keep it fair to everyone. And so I kept applying until one year I opened the computer and I see that's not the message I was expecting, you know, not the message I typically see every year. So to our surprise, my husband and I, we won the green card lottery. We were part of the very lucky few people around the world to come here. So we decided to give it a try. We didn't have that much money put aside. We had some, but not that much. But it should have been enough to get us started here in the US. So we took a risk. My daughter at the time was 1 year old. So we took the child, you know, the family, all of us, and we came to the States to start life from scratch. So we come to the States and we find out that we can't access the funds from home. We had to go back home and show ourselves in person, make sure that that's us, that's not somebody else. Anyway, the whole bureaucracy. And we realized that we only have $400 in our pocket. That's it. So how do you start life from scratch with $400 in your pocket? And I've been to the States before, but it's different when you come here and you know that somebody will take care of you when you live with a host family or when you go to college. Or but coming here and just being thrown to this whole system, and we had to figure out something very, very fast. So that was our beginning.
That's a long period of your time. This like didn't happen overnight. A year later, how many years did you apply? How old were you when you came here? You're obviously very smart. You have an education. You spoke English really well. What was that actual timeline from the first time you applied to come over here? And then when you finally came over here? Because now you said, you know, I have a husband. I have my first daughter.
When we came to the States, I was 31. So that took us, 13 years to apply, and every single year it was rejected. When I think about the story, I think of this meme, you know, the person that keeps digging and they're so close to getting the diamonds and they turn around and leave. Like, I think about this, what if I would be like, you know, this is not working, I'm just not lucky, this is not for me, and I would have given up on applying. You know, what if that happened to me? I wouldn't be here today if I quit, you know, if I gave up on this.
Did you think about quitting? Because I mean, you applied 13 years in a row. Every year, like clockwork, you still went on and applied. You still had this vision of chasing the opportunity in the US. There was something there, but did you ever think about quitting?
Never. Really, never. When you think about risk and reward, that always came to my mind. It takes about, 5-10 minutes to apply, and it's free. But think about the reward. Yes, the chances are low, but that's one thing. The second thing is, I knew I wanted this, and maybe it was my principles. Like, I'm not giving up on purpose. Like, you know, even if it's a no, it just maybe became routine, became a habit. You never know. Maybe this year. And for anyone out there listening, if you really want something, keep at it. If it's not, but also, look at risk reward. Obviously, if it's taking too much time or sanity or anything, you know, if it's not worth it, it's not worth it. But to me, it was absolutely worth it. And for my family, I knew what I wanted.
You only fail when you quit, right? If you quit early and you don't actually achieve, it's not, a lot of times it's, people don't realize how long it takes to succeed at something that's really big. Like, you want to do something really big. You think it's going to happen in 12 months. It's probably not. You have to keep going. And the only way that you can assure that you fail is if you quit. If you keep going, 100%. You're giving yourself the best opportunity to succeed. I think that's a point that, you know, as ambitious and optimistic entrepreneurs, we've got all the grandeur of what success looks like, and we think it's going to happen very quickly. But the reality is, it's a lot of work, and it totally can be done. You can't quit. You have to keep going.
That was my story.
That is your story. You did not quit, and you just kept doing it. Okay, I want to kind of go in there. So you get to the States, you can't access your funds, but you got a little family here too, which I know your story. So I know you have some family here that you're able to kind of work with. Before we go into getting here, though, what did you do? What were you doing in those 13 years? Were you working somewhere? Were you an entrepreneur? What were you doing at that time?
I've always been an entrepreneur at heart, and I actually did have a company when I was back home. I had a school of foreign languages, and we taught primarily English, but also a little bit of German, and I speak some German as well. So we hired teachers. I was running the school, and it was a very, very good project. And what I like the most about it is that we didn't spend that much money on marketing, because most of our clients were coming from us from word of mouth. Like, they saw the results. Now looking back, I can understand how much more I should have done and could have done. And I could have brought, you know, I could have made it a much stronger company. But back then, we were probably the number one company in the city, which I'm in the capital, so probably in the country as well.
Wow. So you were already working the entrepreneur thing. You were successful at it in your own right. And then you come over here. You'd already built a business. You come over here. You get the great fortune of winning the lottery. You come over here with your husband and your daughter. You meet up with some of your family members you have here, which they were in the Panhandle at this time. Florida Panhandle?
I have two sisters here in the States. One was in the Panhandle. The other one was in North Carolina. I could really count just on... So we moved to the Panhandle because the other sister, she unfortunately was in an abusive relationship. Luckily, she got out of there. So now she's in the Panhandle too. The two sisters are, you know, they live close by. But it was just a very difficult time for her as well. And that added to our, to my stress too. But I moved to Pensacola, Florida. And because... there is a community of people from my country. So I said, if anything, somebody will be able to put in a good word for me and we will be able to find employment to get us on our feet when we first land in the States. So yes, we went to a place where there were people from our country.
Okay, I love that. So you get a little support system. That is really where you start to intersect with Blackjack and you start to work in the real estate industry, which I absolutely love. We're very fortunate to have crossed paths in this kind of a way. So you do the Blackjack thing, and I don't want to go too much into that because I want to talk about more of what you're doing today as an entrepreneur. So you take a chance on a company, they take a chance on you, you do really, really well, and you're actually surrounded by crazy entrepreneurs and you're like, okay, this is cool. I think I can go build something. And I even remember this conversation. I think it was the summer of 21 and you were like, hey, look, I'm going to go build a company. And I was like, that's awesome. How can I help? Yeah. I was really excited for you.
And to me, this was so surprising because I come from a place where this doesn't usually happen. Like entrepreneurs and employees, nobody wants to lose good people. And I was so afraid that what if I burn this bridge? What if this is not, you know, to me, that was very important keeping this relationship open because I'm so grateful for the company and for everything they have done for me. And I've always provided good value, good service. But I just felt that it's time for me to spread my wings and do something on my own. I just felt the calling inside. But at the same time, I was like, I don't want to disappoint, you know, anyone. So,
and you did not. So yeah, I was really excited for you. And you went off and you wanted to build a virtual staffing company because you had built this really unique skill set. You'd built a skill set in sales, being on the phone, sales psychology, talking to people. And you had also built this skill set of building a team. And since you're well-traveled, you've been around the world, you notice that, hey, a lot of people are using virtual assistants. I have a ton of experience overseas, and I know that there's great offshore talent that I feel like I can bring together and help place into people's teams. At this point, you had hired people, you'd managed people, you had all this skill set, you'd taught, you'd built businesses in the past. So what was born? So you left the summer of 21. What did you build? What were some of your challenges and what is it now? I want to hear that, what we're doing, what you're doing in the virtual staffing company.
I built a company called Hire Train VA. I wanted to name it something very simple and very straightforward what we do. And that's exactly what we do. We hire virtual assistants and we train them for the companies before we plug them into a company. So very simple, Hire Train VA. My challenges, and actually the reason, one of the main reasons why I wanted to have a virtual staffing is because, you know, when I told you that I had my company back home before coming to the States, it was the most popular school of English. We had lots of word of mouth. Like, our numbers look great, except for our profit margin was so small, it almost made it not worth it. We had salaries, we had local people, you know, we had office space, we were extending, so we needed to bring in more office space. And it was just so frustrating from that point of view. So I said, you know, I want a company, but I want more freedom and I want to have bigger profit margin. That's what I also wanted to do. And it kind of, everything just aligned perfectly for me because you're right. I did have this experience. I understood exactly what the real estate investors needed to propel their business and to make it grow. And I worked as a virtual assistant. When I came to the States, that's what I did. I worked from home, right? I didn't need an office space. I had my own computer. So the company didn't have to spend money. I was like, what a smart way. And before that, I was thinking, well, maybe working from home is not going to be as productive. You always get distractions. You have laundry, you have dishes, you know, you have family. But to my surprise, that's not what happened at all. I was able to focus very well. I was able to work. I was very productive in a home environment. So I was thinking, this is a very smart way of working. So when I built my company, I said, I can do this from people from around the world. I know what it's like working as a virtual assistant. I know what kind of hurdles VAs have to go through or have to go over, you know, when working on the US market, because that's exactly what I had to go through. How to adapt to US market, what it's like working from home, have your own laptop, have your own setup, no need for office. I also knew what's keeping entrepreneurs up at night, because I was an entrepreneur myself. I know what issues they have. So I just thought, I can make a company that solves all of the problems. I can make entrepreneurs happy. I can make a big impact in the lives of some virtual assistants around the world. And we can all protect our profit. I mean, if you have someone local, that's fine. Some positions require local knowledge or shaking hands or meeting belly to belly, you know. But there are so many positions out there that can easily be fulfilled by virtual assistants being on the other side of the world. And that was my mission. So the biggest challenge that I had was probably convincing people that it's possible to do it, because they thought, well, VAs have accents. VAs work in a different time zone and they will fall asleep on my shift. VAs are not reliable. They're chasing clients. So there was a lot of education, if you want to do, like, to talk to people here in the US. I said, first of all, I have an accent. Never stop me. And there are people right now, we have virtual assistants who you wouldn't tell that they're not from here. Like, they put my accent to shame. You know, like, I sound like they don't understand me. But the accent is not as big of an issue as people think it is. That's number one thing. Number two is they live on the other side of the world and they'll fall asleep during my shift. In my company, I have a team of 7 virtual assistants. No one has ever fallen asleep. And they have such a good culture of remote work that the virtual assistants, they are very well adapted to this routine, to this work. They know what it's like to work on the US market. They've done it before. They have everything set up. So a lot of limiting beliefs, that was the biggest challenge. Like, people didn't believe in this concept, even though it's not a new concept, but they still thought it's riskier, you know, and you get what you pay for, without them realizing that $5 an hour actually goes a long way in certain parts of the world. When I was in Moldova a couple of years ago, I would have worked for $5 an hour because my rent was $200 a month. It wasn't $3,000 like it is here in the States now, you know. So the $5 here is not the same as $5 somewhere else. And so this was the biggest challenge that we had to overcome. But I think we got to a point where we have built a lot of success stories of how companies succeed with the help of virtual assistants. And we have success stories of the VAs of how their lives have been impacted and how grateful they are for this opportunity, which they wouldn't have had otherwise. So I think at this point, we're in a much better position.
Okay, I want to ask about a couple of things. There's a little bit to unpack there. And I think this is so incredible. So basically, what I'm hearing is companies right now can hire very talented labor to do things like answer the phones, administrative tasks, transaction coordination, sales, marketing. They can work in pretty much any department in a US-based company from overseas. And the cost of labor is $5 to maybe $10 an hour, is what it sounds like, compared to the US, where you're looking at $40, $50, $80, $100,000 for that same talent. The only difference is this person's working virtually from another part of the world, but they're accustomed to it because it's common for other countries to do virtual assistant work in the United States, because they do it for big companies like call centers, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Comcast or Xfinity, all these companies are actually, a lot of their support is overseas. So it's very common to the other country. It just seems uncommon to some smaller businesses that didn't realize that they could hire virtual talent who is immensely talented with minimal accent in their company for a fifth, a sixth, one-tenth of the labor cost of hiring somebody here, yet the same level of talent. That is super incredible. Okay, so you build this company to be able to do what now is the question. So you have a model and hire train VA. Somebody could come to you and you're going to help them staff a virtual assistant. Talk to us about what that looks like. What are you doing for that company who says, okay, I could use a virtual executive assistant or admin assistant. I could use a transaction coordinator. I could use a lead manager, an acquisitions sales rep, or somebody to help me, an inside sales agent for a realtor. So if somebody wanted somebody like that and they came and they said, Val, I'd like you to staff somebody. Talk to me about how you go find them. What kind of screening process do you do? How do I know I'm getting the best person possible? And what does it look like for me to pick the best person? Because you're going to staff multiple options, right?
Yeah, that's a very, very very good question. So when virtual assistants apply to work with us, and the way we outsource is we run ads all over the world. We look at basically if there's a way for us to find VAs, job boards, groups, like anything, we're going to do it. We actually have boots on the ground in some countries. We call them country reps that understand what we need, and they actually put their own jobs in their local job. You know, so we do have boots on the ground in some countries to outsource for us. So we do have access to a lot of people coming in at the top of our funnel. We're talking about, you know, thousands of people per month. But our selection rate, we looked at the statistics, and out of 100 people that apply, we reject 98. So we only accept about 2%, sometimes 1% of the candidates that apply. And how do we determine this 2%? We look at their level of English, number one, especially if it's a voice position. If it's something that can be done on a computer, doesn't require them to speak with clients, we can be more accepting of that. So level of English is very important. How they present themselves at the interview. Do we notice any sort of integrity issues? If so, we do not work with that person. Integrity is very important for us. We check the IQ. We have an IQ test. We have a critical thinking test, which is very important. So not just IQ, but critical thinking. What else? We look at personality profiles. We look at we take them through a very, very tough screening process. Now, when you work with us, let's say you are a potential client, you come to work with us and you need a virtual assistant. We will give you access to our unique draft board. No one else has that in the industry, and you get to see everything about that virtual assistant. Not only that, but you also see different categories. You see cold callers, you see lead intake, you see acquisitions, you see admin assistant. And when you click on those areas, you will see everybody, all of the virtual assistants that have passed our criteria, and you have access to all of that. You see their name, where they're from, what language they speak. You see how much they want to be paid per hour, and we never charge anything on top of what they want per hour. So you have full transparency of what you're going to pay that VA and what makes them happy. You see personality profile, work history, and very important, I didn't mention this, but we also give them a skill test. So let's say you're hiring someone to manage your email. We're going to give them a little test. Hey, you wake up in the morning and you see 6,000 unread messages. Walk me step by step how you're going to handle that. You know, so we're looking at different responses. And you, as an entrepreneur, you can actually get to see the videos of how the VAs respond to these questions. And you can see, I want that person, I want this person. You can even shortlist the people that you like. And we're not going to limit you to how many people you can interview. You will have an account manager from my team who's going to make recommendations, but we also give you access to seeing everything on the draft board so you can choose whoever speaks to you. Maybe we missed something. So it's a very, very good process that our clients love.
It's incredible. Yeah, it's super incredible. And we've personally used it so many times, and we have some like really great clients in our companies because of it. So the experience is really just hard to understand, like how good it is compared to what I've seen out in the industry. So I get to go on this draft board, and I get, you know, maybe your staff tells me, hey, you asked for a person with these particular skills who've used these systems before and have this kind of work experience. Here are the top 10. So I just go in there. I look at these top 10. I watch the interviews. So the interviews that they did through your screening are recorded. I watch the interviews. I see what they say. I look at their resumes. I see what their personality profile is. It's just like, it's all already done for me. Then the only thing I really have to do is go, these are my top three. I'd like to set up interviews with them. And then your team schedules the interviews with them and we interview them, and then we can make a decision on them. So I think it's really, it's really next level. It's just it's an elite service that you just don't see in a lot of other companies. So no, it's really cool. Okay. I want to ask you a couple more questions. What is the most exciting opportunity? So you have HireTrain VA. You guys are placing dozens and dozens of VAs every month and helping businesses either scale or reduce their expenses and expand their net income. So what's the most exciting opportunity for business owners today? Like maybe even startup businesses, the solopreneur, like when it comes to virtual staffing, what should people be looking at? Who do they need right now? What's the best opportunity for them?
The best opportunity is taking themselves out of the busy work and not doing tasks that can be done by someone at $5 an hour or even up to $10 an hour. A lot of people are so protective of their work and what they do, especially at the beginning, and they don't scale as fast as they could if they were to delegate some of this responsibility to someone else. Not only that, not only do they not scale fast, but also they have missed opportunities and their profit is minimal because it's just one person who does everything. And what if they get sick? What if they need to take a vacation? And if you can't take some time off to go to a dance recital of your child, then you're not an entrepreneur. You just created another job for yourself. So if you want to be an entrepreneur, you have to have a team that you delegate these tasks to so you can free up your time and do tasks that are more at CEO level. I think this is the most exciting thing about working with virtual staff. Not only that, but the risk is minimal, right? You can stretch your dollars further. And when I say the risk is minimal, especially when working with us, we have a program where we can replace the VA if it doesn't work out. We have a program where we train the VA in stuff that you want so we can ensure the VA stays with you longer and gives you the results you need. So it's controlled risk. Nothing is risk-free, but it is controlled risk. And it's, I think the risk of doing everything on your own is much bigger than scaling with a team, especially with virtual assistants.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So if you're an entrepreneur or a business owner, you got a small business or even a medium or big size business, and you want to leverage out tasks that aren't giving you the best return on time, then that's a great opportunity to hire a virtual assistant. I absolutely love it. Yeah, I personally believe that every new or small business owner should be hiring an admin assistant. Like, it's one of the first hires everybody should have. Somebody to help them with the routine kind of administrative stuff to free up their time to do their best work. The CEO, the founder. And when you're new and you're just building your business, you don't have a ton of money to hire your in-person executive assistant yet. An admin assistant VA is so, so critical, in my opinion. Now, I absolutely love that. I absolutely love that. Let's talk about you guys a little bit. You're in the virtual staffing space. What is the, for HireTrain VA, and you and your team, what is your number one goal in business this year? What are you trying to do? Make an impact, help people with VAs? How many people are you trying to help? What's it look like?
Our goal is to help entrepreneurs, but provide help that no one else does in the industry. So we want to provide the training and help as many entrepreneurs as we can. We have people that came back and hired the 9th VA from us. We have 6 VAs, 9 VAs, people that hire from us. We are the go-to company because they see the impact that we're having on their team. So we want to have more companies like this that as they grow with the help of virtual assistant, and they grow to a point where they need to bring in more virtual assistant to grow even more, and they bring more to grow even more. Like, to us, this is the biggest compliment and the biggest impact we can have on businesses.
Yeah, I love it. You're focused on such good fulfillment, making sure that your clients get exactly what they're looking for. And you're doing that through, number one, finding the right people, but number two, providing training opportunities and helping those. Because it's one thing to hire somebody. It's a whole nother thing to get them trained in the way you want them in your business. And that can be a challenge. And you're helping business owners do that. I absolutely love it. So I know your time is limited today. So I do want to ask where people, if you have any final advice for people, and then where can they find out more about you specifically and see your great story and all the good work you're doing, and also HireTrain VA?
I just want to make a clarification, or like, maybe people don't know. You said they need to hire an executive assistant. Well, what is an executive assistant? What exactly do they do? What kind of responsibilities can they have? So I want to make sure that I make this clarification on this episode. Executive assistant, basically, they are your second brain. Think about, what is it that you need in your business? Is your email overflooded with unread messages? Well, a VA can take care of that. Do you ever find yourself that you have double bookings on a calendar and you miss appointments, or everything's a mess? A VA can take care of that and make you accountable and make sure that you attend those. What else? Even travel management. I mean, we have VAs that can book the whole travels, book hotels, give you a packing list based on the weather that's going to be during the time you travel. There's so much. And we train on all of that. You know, we actually have a training on executive assistants. And we do basic social media, basic video editing. So just something for you to know, especially if you're starting out. But travel management, email management, calendar management, how to do research. We recently had a session on how to do research. Basically, you tell the VAs, hey, find me the top real estate agents in my country or in my city, and what do they do? You know, a VA knows how to do this and where to look for that information. It's all trained. So think about, what is it that you have on your plate right now that's taking the majority of your time? In fact, actually, if I could give an advice, if you go to our website, HireTrainVA.com, look at on the menu, you will see something called free, and browse our free value that we give you. And one of them is the delegation workshop. Go through it. It's going to walk you step by step on how to think about delegation, It actually also takes you through a quiz of what's stopping you to delegate to a team member. And it really just spits out for you everything, like what you need to delegate to who, what's the priority, what's the order. So if my advice is like, if you're still not sure, go through that exercise. It's completely free. You have all the downloads and everything, and look through other free stuff that we have. And if you need anything, let us know, because we want to bring as much value as we can to entrepreneurs, because we believe in this concept. We believe in working with VAs. And if there's anything you need, we might be able to give you. So we'll just make it a free resource available to everyone.
Yes.
So how they can find me. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Well, I just want to say, I went through the delegation workshop myself to see what activities I was doing, and I've done this in the past, but your tool was so much, it was just really well designed and kind of helped me to get a much more clear picture on, man, I'm doing all these tasks, I shouldn't be doing this or this, and who do I need to delegate this to? It was I think it's one of the best things out there. So that the delegation workshop was amazing. Thank you for putting that together.
Yeah, and now absolutely, and I don't know anyone else who does it. So
no, not at that level, not that detailed and that good. And that guide, like how it guides you through every step of the way. I loved it. So, okay. Where can people find you? I know you have a podcast, you're on social media, and where can they find Hire Train VA?
We do have a podcast. It's called Built with VAs. And we address a lot of the questions that people have about working with VAs, how to pay them, what platforms to use, the contracts, everything. So if you have some specific questions, you might find the answer on the podcast. But then you can always go to our website, hiretrainva.com. You can book a call with my team. Most likely, I mean, if possible, I can be on the calls, but most likely you will speak with one of my virtual assistants. So you get to see the level of professionalism and the service that you're getting with my team. And so you understand that, hey, a virtual assistant is doing that. That's phenomenal. I can do the same thing. So we'd always love to talk to you and walk you through the strategy of what you're doing or kind of like this. But also you can find me on Instagram, Valentina Brega, my name, Facebook, YouTube, Valentina Brega, my name.
Awesome.
So very easy to find.
Yes, you're all over and I love it. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I think this is helpful. You know, this is the Florida Real Estate and Entrepreneur Podcast, and we get a lot of entrepreneurs from all different industries on here. And I feel like everybody in their business needs a VA, and everybody needs the right VA. And we're just honored to have you on today. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.